Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The Fool and the Opera with Dan Vo.
My name is Peter. I work here at the Melbourne Recital Centre in the marketing and communications area. And today we're going backstage through the brand new Melbourne Recital Centre. The building itself, we're outside, we're in South Bank. We're located on the corner of Sturt Street and South Bank Boulevard. So it's kind of diagonally behind the National Gallery, just down from the Arts Centre. So we're building on the Arts Precinct here. And just a bit further down the road is the Malthouse and Acca.
It's quite noisy out here, so let's step inside and get a feel for the ambience inside.
We'll just pass you through the doors. So it's much more quiet now.
Yes, as it should be. Which is actually quite good because the exterior of the building, the outside, is a reflection of the interior of the building. That really, what we have here is a custom-built recital hall for the performance of fine music, chamber music. And that's where the start of the creation of the whole complex in the building starts. So you start with a shoebox venue, which is a European popular design, and pretty much recognised as the best form for the appreciation and performance of this kind of music. From there, what we've done is we've encased that with a like a concrete shell, which is then completely surrounded with a 250mm rubber kind of surround, which isolates the actual hall from the rest of the environment. So you there is no outside noise. It's a completely protected shell.
A box that has something precious inside it.
We were kind of interested in the idea of the building as being like a container, a sort of a box that has something precious inside it.
That voice there is Professor Ian McDougall. He's one of the three partners of Ashton Raggett McDougall, the architects that built the Melbourne Recital Centre. He told us that the MRC was built in the tradition of great places like the National Gallery of Victoria.
Within that tradition, the idea of this sort of containment of something precious, but on the other hand, contemporary city buildings, and we think this is an important thing, should expose themselves. They should actually be open from the inside to the outside, so people inside can see out, and people outside can wonder what's happening inside and see people there. It's interesting because when you come to a project like this, you bring a lot of, let's call it baggage, about contemporary architecture. And one of the basics of contemporary architecture is open space, sort of fluidity of space, fluidity of space, fluidity of space, fluidity of space. And here you are designing this, essentially a box, which is highly contained, like a cave. So there's a lot of contradictions in there, and likewise our client group and our music community that were involved, we had a lot of different ideas about what it should be like, but eventually arrived at this idea that the box would be a traditional box, slightly altered, but it would actually have a contemporary air to it.
Being exposed, I guess, that we didn't want people to feel that we weren't welcoming, that you could see that something was happening inside, that we're trying to encourage visitation, break down any barriers that people may have about, you know, fine arts or the performing arts. And it really, when it's filled with people in the evening and they're on the grand staircase, it really brightens up the corner. It makes the place feel of life. So it's quite incredible.
And we're back to the tour with Peter Ritchie, Marketing Coordinator of the Melbourne Recital Centre.
So what you see is when you look at the outside of the building, you'll see the glass windows, which are representative of bubble wrap, which is what you would wrap a precious gift in to further protect what is interior in the inside. Also, when you notice from the outside from a distance, the white colonnade reflects the kind of polystyrene. that I'm sure everybody hates when you buy a new CD or you buy a new television, you buy a new white good, and you have all that polystyrene protective casing that you end up throwing away. So they've modelled that again to basically cover or protect what is the inner hall from the outside noise so that you've got these two different environments. So it's a really smart way of linking the whole building in one, I guess. We've crossed the foyer. We have a grand staircase which wraps around the side of the building, which has one whole wall which covers about 3 to 4 levels of the building with the glass panel I referred to earlier as the bubble wrap. Light streams in here during the daytime, and at night it's great because it's illuminated and everyone outside can see what's happening inside. The floor is actually compressed bamboo, which comes from Indonesia, and that covers not only the floor of the staircase but most of the venue. So again, it has that very natural, fresh, I guess, look to it, very clean and uncluttered. And the staircase itself is rather wide, so you know, when you're arriving here, there's a big sense of occasion that you're about to see a performance, you know, and it builds, I guess, on the visitor's anticipation before they actually go into the auditorium.
I suppose you can do a showy walk-up as well.
You can.
Know that people outside are looking in.
Looking in. Or you can fall down on your way out, one or the other. Okay. We've reached level one, which is actually...
The client group wanted that very dramatic sense of anticipation. Sort of procession from the car to your seat. And they really wanted us to make sure that we enhance the whole music experience by that procession.
And the foyer looks out again through the glass, so you've got a great city skyline. And as you work your way up through the building to the next level, you get even a better view of the actual city. So we might actually go in to Elizabeth Murdoch and have a look at the venue from the back of the stalls.
Thank you. Wow.
Okay, so I guess you'll notice that there's a silence about where we are now. We've actually walked into the hall. We're standing at the back of the stalls of Elizabeth Murdoch Hall, looking down towards the stage. I guess what people find quite striking is the wood panelling that is throughout the building. That is hoop pine, or plantation hoop pine, that has come from Queensland, and it has then been laser cut, and that process happened down in Hobart before it was actually brought here and then put on the walls. And it's quite a remarkable effect. People describe it in different ways. And at the back of the stage, or on the surrounding stage area, you have almost like a pixelated effect with all these smaller square panels that decorate there. While it may be aesthetically attractive, really it serves an acoustic purpose, and that is to help with, you know, the absorption and the deflection of sound. As I said, primarily at the start, this the venue is first and foremost was about creating a fabulous environment for the creation and enjoyment of this kind of music. So that's achieved there. Looking up at the ceiling, there are 4 very large, I call them chandeliers, for want of a better word, and they have, I think, 7 kind of organic-shaped wooden pieces that make up these chandeliers, and they've been created from offcuts that were left when the wall was created, so using resources to the best of our ability.
Okay.
There are only 2 levels. There's exactly 1,000 seats, the stalls level and the circle level. What makes this venue quite unique for a recital venue is the amount of lights that we have. We actually have a full theatrical lighting setup or rig. Generally, a hall such as this would have fairly standard lighting, where you either illuminate various sections and that's pretty much it. But here we have a number of lighting rigs that can be lowered from the ceiling. We have areas for follow spots, so it's actually full-on theatrical lighting that we have available. We also have banners, some of them are lowered at the moment, that can alter the absorption of sound so that we can adjust the dynamics, the acoustics overall, according to the number of players and depending on the piece that's being performed. One thing you do notice, though, it is totally isolated from the outside noise. There's no tram, there's nothing that interferes. Going back to the 250mm rubber encasing that this actual venue sits on, in addition, 38 large steel springs that support the actual floor of the venue as well, so there's no vibration, and therefore you're getting a very unique, different environment.
I think Paul Dyer compared it to being inside a womb.
And you feel like you're actually inside a womb. This is perhaps one of the most important moments in our history. Being in a space which you're surrounded, in a cocoon or something, rather, to see and listen to the most beautiful, gorgeous stuff will touch my soul.
Paul Dyer is the Artistic Director of the Australian Brandenburg Orchestra and one of Australia's leading specialists in period performance styles.
Having been in the building the last week, everything is pristine, everything is beautiful. When you're inside the hall, you feel like you're in the interior of a violin. It's all scraped out and it's all orange, and you feel like you're actually inside a womb.
We might venture backstage.
How's the public reacted to the space so far?
Really fantastically. I mean, again, everyone's been really interested with the acoustics. Mm-hmm. People have been have really taken to the acoustics. I mean, we're really quite surprised that we thought it might polarise people. And, of course, that's what the arts are about. Some people will enjoy, some people may not. But they've really embraced it. The use of the venue we find interesting because it's a new facility. People are finding their way. Where are the bathrooms? Where are the toilets? Where are the bars? How do I get to the stairs? So this first opening week, there's been a lot of pressure because we've had 14 concerts in 7 days. Mm. But as people come back and have repeat visits, they'll learn how best to enjoy the venue, you know, what time to arrive, where they like seating, where they want to meet their friends. And that's just something that we'll learn over time. You know, we welcome that so that people feel home here and they embrace it and they feel like they're comfortable in the venue rather than foreigners. So we're about to go backstage. So we're backstage. This is where basically all the artists, all the staff arrive, sign in. What we'll do is we'll head up to level one, which will take us actually onto the stage area. And as you can see, or as we can tell you, there's a huge flight of stairs. So bear with us.
How's those legs going?
And I work on level four, so it's even worse. So we're up on level one, but backstage. Along here we have a whole row of dressing rooms, everywhere from the guest conductor's suite down to smaller dressing rooms to the visiting company office. Just backstage, we've got a massive screen here, so you can see what's happening on stage, so that performers can get their cues. We go through to the first area, just off stage in the wings. Quite a bit of equipment here. The stage manager's desk. And then onto the actual stage. So seeing it from a different angle, clearly here you can see the two levels, the 1,000 seats, you can see the chandeliers. At the moment the stage is just set up for piano,
We just had Pierce Lane here rehearsing. He's performed here on a few occasions this week, and he's coming back on the 5th of March as well. I guess look, something unique about the venue is we have the circle, but at the sides, running down the sides of the hall, we have two single rows of seats that sit there. So if people are coming on their own, they're an ideal one. If you, or even if you're coming with a number of people, you can sit back to back. It just gives you a different perspective. So you've got an option of where you want to sit. There are no columns in the venue, so really there isn't a bad seat in the house. There's no obstructed viewing. Everywhere you sit, you'll get an ideal view down onto the stage.
It's actually quite amazing being up here because when you're coming down from the audience, it looks a lot smaller because all you see is the stage, really. But it's actually, you from this point of view, you see how high the ceiling is up, but at the same time, it still feels very intimate. You can see every seat, and it almost feels like if you were a performer, you'd be able to see the whites of the audience's eyes.
Audience's eyes, yeah.
Oh, not quite. Not that close. Okay.
Merlin Quaife is known as the Fearless Soprano and was head of the vocal department at the University of Melbourne for 12 years.
Hi out there in Radioland. My name's Merlin Quaife and I am a soprano, an educator, and I'm about to be performing in the new Melbourne Recital Centre, which is the most amazing new building in Melbourne.
A respected singer, she was actually one of the first people to sing for the public in the Melbourne Recital Centre when it opened. On top of that, she was also part of the industry liaison group, who made sure that the space fit all the requirements from a performance perspective.
What was really interesting was I was actually in Perth doing an opera, and I get this questionnaire in the mail, and I thought, oh, what's this? And it was this huge questionnaire asking me my opinion of what I thought a new chamber music venue should involve, what should be in it, etc. Now, these questionnaires were sent to I don't know how many hundreds of people, but they chose sort of key people from various aspects of music making in Melbourne, and we were all asked to give our opinion, and then we had meetings. I've sort of been on tap to go in and look at the place and see what's happening all through the process, and it's been really exciting watching it grow.
So what's special about this venue in particular? Like what?
There's a few things that are really special. I mean, first of all, it's just the ambience and the beauty of the place, but more importantly is the wonderful sound that can be created there. It's designed for intimacy. Sound works there really well, and you can actually sing as softly as the music requires, and your voice will still, and the instruments will still carry throughout the whole place.
So the relationship with the audience and the performer is actually a lot closer in this. As you say,
yes.
It's more intimate.
Yes.
Can you see the whites of their eyes in this particular venue?
Oh, not quite. It's not that close.
Okay.
But and of course, once you get the lights on, you don't actually see the audience at all. Mm. But you're aware of them. There's a much more sense of awareness, and it's more about the way as you're performing, you can draw them into your little world easier because you can play softer, sing softer, manipulate the sound in many subtle and varied ways that draws them into you. And the best thing is you can hear and feel the concentration and the silence when they're really tuned into you. That's magic.
What we've achieved is something that I think we're almost going back in time where, you know, back in the 1700s, 1800s, the audience and the performers were almost as one. We don't have a proscenium arch here, so we don't have the arch that surrounds the stage. We don't have an orchestra pit. We don't really, the stage literally goes straight out into the audience. So the performer is very exposed. There's nowhere on the stage they can hide behind. And you are literally, yes, you can almost lean out and touch them, and they can touch the performer. So it's more intimate, I guess. And the few performances I've attended here already, you feel the energy of the performers. You really can see, you know, the energy that they exert in their performing. And sometimes you can hear, like, breathing. Michael Collins played last night with the clarinet, and you could hear the breaths he took between playing. So, yeah, it's broken down a whole lot of barriers, and it's very intimate yeah, I think people will be really amazed. It's a different experience.
Not particularly green either.
No.
I'm always disappointed with green rooms not being green.
Actually, I think the Art Centre green room is the only original green room way back.
So is this the highest level? No, this is back where we were before.
We can go up to level 2, which is the highest level, which is the level that you use to access the circle. Mm-hmm. So we're at level 2, which is the entrance to the circle foyer. And in the front of the foyer here, actually the glass covers 2 levels. So you get quite a marvellous view over the city skyline, and even last night it was quite spectacular with the city illuminated. Down the end of the foyer here, there's a circle. It looks like a large portal from a ship.
I think the interesting thing about the portholes is they're reflecting off the ABC Centre at the moment. So there's a nice bit of glass on the other side of the street, which is reflecting the Music Recital Centre back at you. And I don't know if we can see it. But is that a musical notation, like 2 dots and then the bracket?
It's a stave. It's the bracket that you would have, for example, at the start of piano music, to when you've got the treble clef and the bass clef. So it's using that motif or that symbol. We've applied that. And if anyone has seen our logo, basically we use that on 4 sides to make a square. And in the middle, we drop the name Melbourne Recital Centre. So, yeah, it's a kind of a reference, I guess, back to music making, which is what we're about, performing and enjoying music. At the moment, we've got the Glass Percussion Project, which is set up, and they've been here for a whole week as part of our opening festival, and they're performing each night, and they resonate throughout the whole foyer. So it's quite marvellous when they all play at the same time on the different levels. The sound just kind of resonates and floats up throughout the building.
And you've just noticed the blue. If you're up for it, we can do the emergency exit stairs. Which are blue. I'm not quite sure why, but...
So in case of an emergency, this is how it will sound. Maybe with a bit of screaming, but... I'm sure your patrons will stay calm.
Yes, we advise them to stay calm.
So are you aware of any interesting stories about things that almost didn't happen, or...?
No, look, my understanding is the construction went very well. They completed the building 3 months ahead of schedule.
Yep.
And they brought it in under budget, which is all very good news. Yes. The building sits on the ground, so they haven't excavated, which may have a lot to do with this part of South Bank. Actually, the ground, there isn't solid rock that actually is here, because hundreds and thousands of years ago, it was an extension of the Yarra, like a swamp plain, so there's no firm foundation, so it just sits on the ground, so there was no issue with excavation. No stories or ghosts to speak of as of yet, but we're welcoming people to come and have an adventure and, tell us about, different things. And people are, this opening week, we're finding what works and what doesn't work, and then we can make changes and, we're new as well to the building as well as our visitors. So it's a learning curve for everybody.
We have time for a trip into the salon?
No, I can't take it. The salon is the only place we can't, because there's a rehearsal of the Stimmung, which is the performance on Saturday.
Yep.
The choral group are in there rehearsing as we speak.
The salon, it's quite a small room, and I love small, intimate, miniature, subtle, and really this salon is all of those things.
It wouldn't be quite a tour of the Melbourne Recital Centre if you didn't get to check out the salon. So, David Young, who had the distinction of having his second full run of his song cycle, Thousands of Bundled Straw, to be the second performance in the MRC's second space, the salon, he's going to give us a sneak peek of the salon through his eyes.
So my name's David Young, and I'm a composer, but also artistic director of an arts company based in Melbourne called AFIDS, which specialises in cross-art form collaborations, but almost always with contemporary music. So it's not a huge room. I think at the very most it would fit about 120 people. And the thing that strikes you when you first enter are the walls, which are made up of these square blonde wooden panels, and they're all slightly tessellated at different angles, and they're all beveled, or they're kind of carved with a Percy Grainger graphic score. It's quite a high ceiling, so the space is actually very resonant. It's got a, you know, almost an echo to it, but that can be controlled by the acoustic paneling, and it's got all the, you know, the latest mod cons and so on. And then the floor is made up of this pressed bamboo, which again, you know, is quite light. So it's a very light, wooden, simple, beautiful space.
And in terms of your piece, now I understand that you've had 25 3-hour rehearsals in there. Has the piece changed to suit the space?
Having difference is that this piece has been performed in larger venues, basically. And what happens with a larger venue is that the musician just very naturally and instinctively projects to the back row. And in a space not only of this size, but also where the acoustic is so pure, the room is absolutely silent. It's literally balanced on springs so that you don't get any vibration from the trams going past. It's totally isolated. I mean, if you're in there and all the lights are switched off and everything, nothing else is in there, you can actually hear your own heart beating. And this means that the musicians can play at a dynamic level that would otherwise be absolutely impossible. So they can play very, very softly. So that is radically changing the work. It means that there's much more delicacy and nuance. So it's, as someone who's interested in that kind of thing, that subtlety, it's been incredibly exciting.
The salon is an interesting venue. It's actually a fully operational recording studio. So even though it is a much smaller room, it is again surrounded with wooden panels, which again are quite distinctive. It has a fully operational recording suite that hangs off it. And a number of people are actually hiring that venue merely to record, not just to perform, but actually use it for its recording quality. So it's like an added extra to the main Elizabeth Murdoch Hall.
Well, Peter, from the Melbourne Recital Centre, thank you so much for the tour. It really is a world-class venue, and I think it really is a cap in the feather of all... feather in the cap of all Victorians. So thank you so much for the tour.
No, you're welcome. We hope to see everyone here very soon. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9 Community Radio. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert, thanks to the support of Joy's sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.